The Report with Rolling Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolling, you never took your graduation pictures with a crocodile, did you?
I'm really not one for gator wrestling or crocodile wrestling. You know, don't try this at home, kids.
Yeah, please. It's really, really dangerous to try and wrangle a crocodile. However, it seems to be not as dangerous, Rolene, as being a Syrian rocket scientist.
Well, apparently so, and perhaps was it Mossad who wrangled a Syrian rocket scientist? Well, according to the Syrian news, apparently Mossad did. And this is according to a report also published in the New York Times. So the Mossad, which is often blamed for these kind of mysterious occurrences, was reportedly responsible for killing one of Syria's most important rocket scientists. His name was Aziz Esber, also known as Aziz Asbar, and he was apparently killed by a car bomb, which some are saying was planted by a Mossad agent. But, you know, sometimes I think it's a little bit conspiracy theorist, and, you know, the thing with Mossad is it is not part of their philosophy or identity to reveal whether they have or not carried out certain missions, apart from the one in Iran, which is very, very out of character for them to reveal to us. But apparently Asbar was responsible for putting together or designing rockets that were accurate enough to hit Israeli cities from Lebanon or Syria. So you could bet your bottom dollar that should something have been done, it probably was Israel's way of saying there's absolutely no way we are going to allow for our civilians and our cities to be hit. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has said on numerous occasions that Israel will not permit Syria to deploy any kind of missiles and will take military action if necessary. But the intrigue certainly growing around the story.
Our Raline, maybe it was Erad Moran, the terrorist terminator.
It could have been. It could have been. I mean, we're just popping up everywhere these days.
And talking about rockets and nukes and all these sorts of things, the US reimposing sanctions on Iran, Israel very excited, EU, not so much.
Well, this has been a very interesting story, and it's also playing its way out on Twitter. But last night, Trump signed renewed sanctions, possibly the hardest sanctions on the Iranian regime. He says that there is no way he will allow them to get the bomb, and he's going to put an end to the aggression. And he says that this is a major step towards ensuring world peace and ensuring that Iran is taken aback from being the aggressor that they are in the region. As you can well imagine, Prime Minister Netanyahu applauded and released a statement congratulating President Trump on these renewed sanctions, which hit Iran very, very hard when it comes to issues such as dealing with oil and other commodities that will severely impact on the country's economy. The EU themselves saying that they may sign into legislation some kind of law that prohibits Europeans from dealing business or doing any kind of business with American companies that support the sanctions or that have signed the sanctions. And the EU saying that they will do their absolute best to ensure that sanctions are overturned on Iran. And our defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, weighing in on Twitter by saying that perhaps it is time for Sacha Baron Cohen to dress up as an Iranian Ayatollah and find out from the Europeans just exactly with where their heads are at when it comes to dealing with Iran. And, you know, I don't know if maybe perhaps Sacha Baron Cohen is part of any kind of security or spy services here, but our defense minister certainly following in the trend of other world leaders, which we've seen with President Trump, Netanyahu, the Ayatollahs in Iran, who are also no stranger to Twitter, and now our own defense minister weighing in on the Iranian sanctions by saying, okay, perhaps it's time for somebody to figure out where the Europeans are at.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite interesting that the Europeans are getting so aggressive. I mean, they're meek and mild about virtually everything else, but it seems as though this Iranian thing, they're getting very hot under the collar. So that is quite interesting. One wonders, what did the Iranians say to them in those various meetings? What interests do they have in Iran? Why are they being like this? This is a very tough talk from by EU standards. So yeah, that should be a lot of fun. We'll have to keep watching that story as it unfolds. Now, give us a bit of background, Ro. The Golden Family and Sarah Netanyahu are having quite a big spat, and it has been quite a lot of talked about, but there is a bit of background to it. So explain to us what's going on.
Well, as we are familiar, over the last 4 years, the remains of fallen soldiers Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul are still being held captive by Hamas. And I know that the families and many around the world have lobbied very, very hard to try and have these remains released so that the two soldiers could be buried or have what remains of them buried with dignity. And the families have been working with various government representatives over the last 4 years to try and make this happen. Now, it has escalated to the point where it's making news again, not for any progress, but rather for a big fallout between members of the government, Sarah Netanyahu, and the Golden Family. Now, it's reported that Sarah Netanyahu phoned Leah Golden and said that she's very, very ungrateful and that the family are now siding with what they call opposition politicians. In fact, the Prime Minister's wife, Sarah Netanyahu, is quoted as saying, "You are ungrateful. If you join with my husband's political enemy, it may harm the efforts to bring the boys back." And this is after the Golden Family attended a memorial for the fallen soldier Hadar, where the Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked, who's of a opposition party, the Habayta Yehudi party, addressed the memorial. Now, where it gets a bit complicated is that a spokesperson for Sarah Netanyahu denied the report, saying that an exchange never happened. But witnesses in the room said that the Golden Family put down the phone and were absolutely stunned by the conversation that is alleged to have taken place. And now this gets even more complicated because the families are saying that there is now a total disconnect between them and the Prime Minister's office, saying that not only did Prime Minister Netanyahu cancel a meeting with them last week, but they had a tense meeting 2 years ago where apparently he yelled at us and said we were liars and banged on the table and said this is not how you speak to a prime minister. But there's further intrigue, Benji. There's further intrigue in that the Golden Family has now appealed to the press to be very, very, very careful with who they use as resources. They've said, you know, they have lost faith in the government. They have lost faith in the Netanyahu government, and they're saying that Bibi needs to learn from Trump because they are citing Trump's hard line with regards to the release of the bodies of captives that were held in North Korea. And they are now appealing, the family is now appealing to members of the press to please be very, very careful and very, very sure who they quote when it comes to the issue of trying to release the remains of their loved ones. So it's very, very difficult. The whole country feels for these families. And, you know, it again puts us in a conundrum, in a very, very difficult position. What is the price to pay for the release of our fallen soldiers or for captives, civilian captives who are still being held by Hamas? But we cannot leave our men behind.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very serious topic, but it's good to know that if Bibi ever does leave office, at least he has an soap opera career ahead of him.
Well, I tell you, Benji, he has, I think it's, as I was saying to Howard this morning, it's like an elaborate episode of a Game of Thrones, and all bets are on. Will Prime Minister Netanyahu remain our Prime Minister after the next elections. This is really going to be, with all the soap opera antics, with all the accusations and with all the events happening in Israel over the last couple of months, will he be the Teflon Prime Minister, or should we be preparing for a change in leadership?
For the next episode of the Sarah Beebe Show, make sure that you stay tuned. And one of those things which has been causing Beebe a little bit of a headache is, of course, the Nation State Bill. And, you know, really, nobody likes it when you call a meeting to discuss something important and everybody else says, look, I'm busy, or they don't respond, or you just have it ignored, or they all just don't pitch up at the last minute. And it seems Netanyahu is having a bit of a problem because most of his ministers skipped the meeting on a discussion about the nation state law.
Well, this is it, and it's a very, very important issue in Israel at the moment. In fact, it's an issue that is spilling out into our diaspora communities as well. I know just from watching on social media interaction on my Facebook page, it is certainly an issue that is creating a lot of discussion, some of it very, very heated. And one of the big issues that has come out of this, and again, I want to be very, very clear, is that nobody is debating the right for Israel to be a nation state for the Jewish people, to have our flag be the flag, to have Hatikva be the national anthem, to have Hebrew as an official language. What many are taking issue with, including ministers in the government, including minority communities, and including many Israelis, is that has the law been written in a way that respects not just the Jewish identity of the country, but the democratic identity of the country? Does it still ensure equality? And the big concern is the downgrading of the Arabic language from official to special status. And this has created a lot of hurt and a lot of upset for minority communities, and at this point in time, especially our Druze community, who are exceptional patriots and exceptional fighters in the army. And Netanyahu convened a meeting with ministers so that this issue can be discussed and that they can start working on solutions. And he was more than a little bit peeved, Benji, when at least five ministers didn't show up to or didn't participate in the meeting, one of them being the defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, who sent somebody else, and finance minister Kahlon, who himself expressed his own objections to the way the Druze community were being treated, and he sent his deputy. So Netanyahu has said very, very strong words indeed, Benji. He says, you know, we're not going to sort this out so easily, and if you want to be part of the solution, best you come to the meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. And best you stay tuned to Chai FM for updates on that. Rolene Marks, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Benj. Same time, same place tomorrow.